culture, 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 culture. For the culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for riding with me for this second hour, folks, as we continue to have this conversation about what's happening in Detroit, where Detroit food truck owner, Miss Rocky Coronado, says, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm not serving police officers of any kind. They come to my food truck looking for a vegan taco. Guess what? Nope. Not going to happen. Hasta mañana. Is that how you say it? I don't want to offend anybody. I don't know. I'm just going to check. Anyway, the point is she's not serving them. All right, let's go back to the phone line and see what you got to say. Does she have a right to do this? Is this a form of discrimination? And how do you feel when somebody believes or they can't differentiate between you and your profession? You know what I mean? Like, they always just see your profession, the institution, the agency you work for. You know what I mean? Real quick, funny thing. Always have people, when they find out that I'm on the radio, they always say, hey, Faraji, talk radio to me. Like, what kind of fetish? Like, what? Talk radio? What do you mean? Just say something to me in radio, Faraji. Like, good morning. Ah, yeah. All right, let's go to the phone line, see what you got to say. We got JC out of Baltimore. Hey, JC, I'm going to talk radio to you right now.
Okay. I'm all ears. Oh, my gosh. They want you to walk around like with a boombox.
Right. Right here, right here, right? All right, JC, thank you for your great patience. What's your take on Rocky Coronado?
So, a couple of the callers had touched on some of my feelings. Like, I was going to be the one to mention about the cake owner and his religion and him refusing the gay couple to make their cake for them. And but in this situation with her, it's a double-edged sword what we're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I immediately, when you first said she's in Detroit, right now I'm constantly thinking about their water in Flint, okay?
Yep.
And I think me personally, I would have felt differently if she was saying, I'm not serving like any of the government officials or like the mayor's office or anyone until the water gets straight, you know, something like that. But to say that you are, I mean, like, at least she would have, like, she would be able to stand, she's standing for something.
Yeah.
But to say that you're not going to serve none of the police officers, it kind of bothers me because, again, like the other previous caller said, you're kind of putting this blanket or putting them all in this one basket. It's like they, you know, back in the day, all blacks. You know, or, mm-hmm. you know, niggers or what have you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it on the radio, but you shouldn't discriminate against the whole when you can be seen individually. Now, I do agree with Patrick. I feel like because she is a private owner, if someone had done something to her or made her feel uncomfortable in such a way, I can see her saying, no, I refuse to render service to you. But the problem with what she's doing is, this same police officer, say a police officer came to her today, hey, yeah, I want to order a taco, I'm hungry, whatever, not even thinking about the things that they do on a daily basis, and she tells them no. The police officer, not even a block away, she's getting robbed. They call the police and dispatch that same police officer that you just, you know, turned away service, but you want him to now, or her, to run the services to you. when you just now refuse them. I mean, things like that can happen. You
right.
know what I mean? Her logic behind it, like she has no rationale to make it make sense.
So she's just mad. She's just mad.
Yeah, you're just upset.
You're just a mad food truck owner.
Exactly. That's what I feel. I feel like if you really want to take a stand against something, sit down, think logically about it. You know, work out a plan. Don't just. It's just like you're acting without really thinking things through, and then you have all of these problems here because people can refuse her. You know, like the one caller said, a protective. Why are we even considering LGBT? You made a point that I laughed at, but then I thought about it, like, hold on for a second. They're considered a protective class, but today you may feel like you only like women. But then tomorrow you might see a nice man you're attracted to, and you want to now not be gay. So why are we now protecting you when you can surely, I can't wake up tomorrow and say, I want to be white. No, I was born black. This is who I am.
Right.
But if tomorrow you decide you no longer want to be a lesbian, that you want to be straight now, we now have to turn. We have to kind of adapt to their changes. Oh, I'm gay today, and maybe tomorrow I don't want to be gay. We have to change.
Here's the one thing, JC, I want us to keep in mind and to get your thoughts on this really quickly, where Ms. Coronado said that she felt like ICE has been harassing her customers. So she refused based upon what she is seeing, what she has experiencing, that, look, ICE, Immigration and Custom Enforcement officers have been harassing her customers. And so therefore, she's like, look, I'm not serving you guys because you guys aren't doing right by my customer. Does that change how this whole situation is looked at?
Absolutely not. It does not, because I'm going to tell you, if she felt that way, I would still feel the way I felt a few minutes ago. Sit down, think about it. I've talked to you before, and you said, Jamaica, you didn't call me by my first name, but you told me that, everyone has a voice. If you want to do something about it, you know, you're starting now, you're talking, but do more about it.
Yep.
That's no different than her. She can do more about it instead of just reacting the way she do. I mean, I didn't already put my whole name out there, and people already know. I'm a nurse. I'm a nurse, and there's times where patients look at me and don't, I'm a nurse, I'm black. There's a tech I work with, sometimes she's white. I've had a patient who would not look at me, would only ask the tech questions, and the tech would tell him to respond back to me because I'm the nurse. So I can't say, I don't want to, care for you. I don't want to make sure, I don't want to give you the right medications, or I'm going to give you the wrong medications. I can't do that. That's my job. The police can't do it either. You know, we can't do that. If she really, really in her heart has a passion to fight for her customers who she feels is being treated unfairly by these police officers, do something about it. Refusing services to these police officers and then all of the police officers that is not the right way to go.
There it is, JC. You know what? You're absolutely right. And trust me, we don't know which nurse, which hospital you work at. It's 1,000 of them in Baltimore. So, you know what I'm saying? So, don't worry. Your identity stays concealed with just you and me, JC.
Okay.
Always appreciate you for checking in. All right, let's go to Valerie out of Baltimore. Valerie, thank you for your patience. Man, this conversation. What's up, Valerie? Right. Talk to me.
I just really think that everyone's taking the whole thing out of context. First of all, police are not a protective class. They are public servants, okay? Mm-hmm. That is that lady's business. And do you recall that the Republicans who went to restaurants after ISIS was putting the Hispanic kids in cages, that those restaurant owners said, I'm not going to serve you.
Yeah.
They have that right. They have that right. And it's not against a class. It's not against a race. It's against a group of people who are killing our people. And if this lady thought enough about us to sacrifice her business, why are we on here berating her? What happened to, do we have code? Do we have to support each other? Here there is a person who is sacrificing her business, just like Colin Kaepernick did. He doesn't have a career anymore, but he put his career on the line for us. But we're sitting up here talking about this woman like, yes, she did sacrifice, and yes, she may not get police support. Let me tell you something else about police. If you rub them the wrong way, I called the police. I reported one of them. You know they blackballed me. So when I called and I tried to get help, if they knew it was coming from my address, they didn't show up. So I used my cell phone because I reported them. Did I deserve that? No, I didn't. They are public servants. They're supposed to do a job. Do we ever support each other? There's something called code. We're supposed to support each other. This lady is doing this because police are killing us. And I agree with the other caller. The day we're on here berating this lady, next week when the police kills one of us, unnecessarily, unwarranted, what will we say? What are we doing? You're everybody saying, well, she could do something else. What else can she do? She decided to put her business on the line for us. And yes, I am angry because I can't believe that we're sitting on here saying this is not, police are not they're not a race. And again, politicians have been denied service.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely right. Right. Valerie, thank you so much for checking in from Baltimore. Wow. Wow. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing, because this becomes like this vicious cycle, folks. Right. It becomes this place where if a group of people does one thing and then the victims of that situation does a second thing, and it becomes on and back and forth, back and forth. My thing is, does it ever get resolved? One, is there ever a point of finding justice between these actions? Two, and then at the end of the day, do we really make progress? Just throwing it out there. I'm just throwing it out there as we have this conversation. Let's go back to the line. Apache from St. Mary. Apache, talk to me, sir.
Hey, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Walaikum salam. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I agree with your last caller, you know, and I'm saying this, I've come on your show a few times, you know.
Apache, you come on the show all the time, bro. Stop playing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm a police officer, as you know.
Yeah.
I 100%, you know, stand by, you know, the lady in Detroit. I believe that her protest, you know, madness is appropriate for these times, you know, and it should be more like it. You know, when Colin Kaepernick, you know, took a knee. You know, I mean, that was his version of protest, you know, I mean, you know, and it cost him a lot. It might cost this lady a lot. But the attention that she's getting, that hopefully she will get from the public, you know, if we stand behind her, you know, will be appropriate to her loss, hopefully, you know, as far as the attention she gets, because the police brutality, I mean, police are killing people, you know, almost daily, you know, and the abuses, you know, that's out there, you know, from the police department, you know, are so egregious. That, you know, I can't imagine why a lot of people don't protest. You know, Faraji, as a police officer, I get a lot of privileges offered to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I want the public to understand this. You know, I'm an African American male, right? You know, I can walk into a place as just me, Apache, the African American black guy, and be treated like almost every caller out there. You know, the discrimination and getting followed. I walk into the same place with my uniform on. And it's as if they don't even remember I was there an hour ago. It's probably the closest thing. For you, listen to me. And I want the public, you know, especially Baltimore, listen to me. I'm a police officer. When I got that uniform on, it's just probably as close as a black person will ever get to some sort of white privilege. I mean, it is that stark difference. So if I can't eat that veggie taco, guess what I would do as a police officer? If I walked into anywhere and they said, you're not invited because you're a cop. I want to say thank you. Thank you for protecting your rights and my constitutional rights by that protest right there. That's what we trained to do, actually, you know, in the academy. That's what they teach you to do, you know, when someone exercises a right that you might not necessarily agree. Now, that bad cop, he's going to do everything that some of the callers been saying. He's going to, oh, that's that person that didn't give me the taco. I'm not going to go there. Well, you know, that cop, that's the cop that needs to be exposed. That's the reason why you need to have protests, you know. When, whatever manner, you know, this woman, you know, she's not in politics. You know, she's not playing football.
No.
She's running a food stand. This is her version of the protest. I agree with it 100%. You know, there's an amendment One more thing, right? There's an amendment in the Constitution. It's the Third Amendment. A lot of people don't talk about it, right? But it prohibits military people from taking residence in your house. Now, you imagine, well, what kind of situation would that be? They just called up 3,000 people for this hurricane, 3,000 National Guardsmen. According to the Constitution, those National Guardsmen can't go sleep in your house. They can't go in there because, you know, hey, they have nowhere to go because it's raining outside or whatever the case might be. Those are the basics of your protected rights as an American. You know, who you choose to invite in your house, who you choose to invite in your business, besides the protected class. And no, public officials are not part of the protected class. All right, you can look it up. That's the Civil Rights Act of 1964. That's what we all talk about when we say protected class. The Civil Rights Act of 1964, you can Google it. Public officials are not part of that protected class. So I stand by, as a police officer, I stand by her, all right? And I would stand by anybody else who would refuse me service as a cop. I'm not going to take the offense to it. The same way that a good, quote-unquote, good white person, you know, who's not racist, shouldn't take offense because we're talking about racism. If it don't apply to you, you shouldn't be offended. It don't apply to me, so I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to understand where she's coming from and who it does apply to.
Gotcha.
And I invite everybody else to just kind of take a look, take a step back, and a look at, you know, what she's actually trying to say and what we should be trying to say, you know, to what's happening out here with the predatory policing and bad policing, to be quite honest with you.
Hey, Apache, I appreciate you, man, for always checking in. Thank you so much. Really quickly, folks, I want to talk about these five protected classes that the that has been outlined. They are race, color, you got religion or creed, according to the federal government, race, color, religion or creed, national origin or ancestry, sex, age, physical or mental disability, and veteran status, right? These are the what they call the protected classes. These are things that you can't change. You can't change your race or your color. Your religion or creed, yes, but you could say I'm from this to that. National origin or ancestry, where you are, where you come from, your sex, your age, you certainly can't change that. Veteran status, yes, if you served, you're part of that class. So that's just want to be clear as to what we consider to be based upon the federal government, a protected class. Evelyn from East Baltimore checking in. Evelyn, thank you so much for your patience. What's your take?
Oh, hi, Faraji.
Hi.
You know, I'm backing the lady for what she did.
Yes.
Plus, I'm behind the football player for what he did.
Okay.
But I want to go a little deeper than that.
Let's go deep, Evelyn.
The baker that didn't want to serve and make a cake for the two gay people.
Sure.
When he went to the Supreme Court, they favored him. They said he didn't have the right. It was his right not to bake them a cake because of his faith.
Mm-hmm.
His religion. Now, if you go back years ago, a private company, if they didn't want to harm black people, they didn't have to.
Mm.
A lot of private-owned companies had all white people working for them.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's kind of like a slippery slope.
That's what I said.
Because what will happen is, if a lot of these things keep coming up, people going to go back to the way it used to be. People are going to say, well, this is my private-owned company. If I don't want to hire a gay person, I don't have to. If I don't want to hire a black person or a Latino person, I don't have to. That's where it's going to end up if these things keep occurring. We got to find another way to get our point across. And I always say, when you have a problem with anything, the police department, your politicians and all that, this is a capitalistic country.
Sure.
It's all about the dollar.
Yeah.
You know, don't spend your money in certain places.
There it is.
Because this is a slippery slope.
It is a slippery slope. And you know what? And I think that we have to keep that in mind, right?
Yeah, because one of your callers that came in, you know, I don't like calling names, but I could tell he was a Caucasian. And a lot of them feel that way. They feel as though...
Well, that's what I'm saying. And I mean, I think we need to have a very open dialogue about that, right?
Yeah,
so when you
wanna,
have, even with Caucasian people, even with white people, you got to be willing to hear that truth.
Right.
And not be fragile about it.
Yeah, because if these companies start saying they don't want to hire this person, and they don't want to hire that person because of their race their sexual origin and stuff like that.
But Evelyn, don't you even notice that even among us in the black community, we carry some level of prejudice and bias?
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, we have generational prejudice. So, you know, a lot of older folks might feel a certain way about young people.
Yeah, because did you remember when they would have different clubs, black clubs?
Yes, ma'am.
And you couldn't get in it if you was darker than a brown paper bag.
Right. And see, that's the other prejudice, right? So we look at it, we say light-skinned people versus dark-skinned people. Dark-skinned people are more inclined to criminal behavior versus light-skinned. I mean, it's just
Isn't
so much
crazy?
Foolishness. It's foolishness. That's
yes,
what it
is.
It's madness and foolishness. But at the end of the day, I'm tending to lean with you in this, that it's a slippery slope.
Yes,
it's
it
a
is.
Vicious cycle that if we continue to fall out and keep falling into, we won't find our way out of.
And you know who's going to get the brunt of it, right?
Dark-skinned people?
No, black people, period.
Black people.
All right, Karaji.
All right, Ms. Evelyn, I appreciate you for checking in. Thank you so much. All right, Gene from Pikesville, let's go. Gene?
You say dark here?
Yes, sir, I'm hearing you.
You say dark-skinned people, right? All right, I tell you what, I'll take one John Brown white man against five neo-accommodationalist Negroes. They're gonna have to think about that one for a while. Give me a John Brown white man, I'll tell you.
Y'all are crazy, man.
All right, look, Farazi. I've listened to this all evening. It took my nap, woke up, and I said, I ain't calling Farazi.
I ain't bothering with that Negro. I don't need this.
So listen, man. Nobody has mentioned the 14th Amendment.
Okay, let's go. Come on, Gene.
All is covered in the 14th Amendment.
Right.
Equal access and equal protection under the law. Right?
Mm.
I hear this discriminate. You could discriminate against anybody. I discriminate against ignorant people all day, every day, all week. I can't stand some ignorant people.
Mm.
So having said that, so you could discriminate, but the protection is against segregation, you know, bottom line. And that's what the 14th Amendment is a protection. These are the Reconstruction Amendments. In other words, we couldn't be emancipated, but you know, when you buy your freedom, what's that called, Farazi?
Oh, yeah, that's a form of emancipation.
Yeah, but it's another word. But so you could buy, even when you could buy your freedom as a slave, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't get citizenship. That was the 13th Amendment.
Sure.
You didn't have equal protection or equal access. You couldn't vote, and even women couldn't vote till after less than 100 years, 70 years later.
In
the 1920s or whatever. So this is covered in the 14th Amendment. But God bless protest, and the woman is protesting, and you know, and she's putting it on the line like Kaepernick. But the bottom line is you cannot discriminate as it is applies to the 14th Amendment.
Hey, Gene, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm so glad you brought that up. Look, Patricia online on our Facebook said this: when did black people become so weak? I mean, to excoriate a woman for sacrificing for them, as for the point of the protest, it sends a message that we will not tolerate you killing our people, and I will not serve you. She is courageous. She is braver than most of these callers because obviously they wouldn't do it. Cowards. I agree with Valerie. Wow. Patricia checking in on our Facebook page, having that to say. Look, folks, look, we got to take a quick pause. When we come back, Linda and Monica, I want to get your final two comments as we talk about this. Also, we're going to talk about what Naomi Osaka has done. She has hit another milestone. First time at the U.S. Open, she beat her idol. Even though it's under questionable circumstances. And now, she just got something else big that has happened to her. We'll talk about her impact on that. With our sports contributor, Mr. Corrupt Vonte Hurd, is in the building. So stay riding with us. A whole lot coming up in the next 30 of For the Culture. right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. And of course, we are always here for the community. Stay riding with us. We'll be right back.
Jazz is an essential part of the universal language of music, one that anyone can understand and connect to. Music like this deserves a secure home on the radio dial. Become a part of the team that helps make great jazz possible. Do your part now by making a donation to keep Jazz on Public Radio 88.9 alive and well. Go to WEAA.org and click the Donate Now button. Thank you for listening.
Join Robert Shahid as he shares the powerful elements that is music and its history on Masterclass, Monday through Friday at noon. You don't want to miss this culinary feast for your ears, only on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Every day, there are musically gifted young people who aspire to be in the spotlight. They dream to be just as successful as the artists who inspired them to create their very own music. Join Robert Shahid in Masterclass as he highlights such gifted individuals that absolutely need to be heard. Monday through Friday at noon, only on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
News headlines.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. This has been a very interesting conversation as we've been talking about what we're seeing coming out of Detroit with this young lady, Miss Rocky Coronado, and her deciding to use her food truck. As a form of protest, as she doesn't want to serve police officers. Very, very interesting. Many of you have brought up some valid points. Some of you are just upset, saying, "Look, black folks, y'all crazy. We're not going hard in the game. What happened to all that big talk about police? Stopping police, teaching police a lesson." Man, this is exactly why. I'm gonna just say this, folks. This is exactly why. When you have such an injustice as prevalent as you do in the police department, it makes you lose your sanity, because for the sake of your own thinking, you should not be victimized by the people who are, quote unquote, served to protect and serve you. It throws off your whole view of life to know that your government or your police department or this institution or that institution can be the biggest perpetuators of crimes against you. It just throws off your, what did they say, throws off your chi? Like, you know what I mean? You just not focused. You're not balanced. You just simply, that's one of the big issues with injustice. When you experience injustice time and time again, you're not in a balanced place. And so your view of the world becomes distorted. It becomes imbalanced. And that's one of the biggest reasons why there has to be some level of resolution to this problem. Because if we can't believe or trust the folks that are supposed to be here for our interests, for our well-being, it's like God saying, "I'm not here for you." I mean, as much as you might say, well, there's a God. Yeah, there's a God. But the God works through men and women, and God has allowed institutions to serve as an authority here on his great earth. And at the end of the day, if those authority figures misuse their authority and abuse their power, then it really does something to us psychologically. It does something to us in how we see ourselves. It does something to us how we see the world around us. It does something to us on a fundamental level. I'm just saying. Monica from West Baltimore, she's checking in. Monica, what's your take on this? Monica?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I was saying it's an interesting topic. And me personally, when it started with that whole cake incident, I feel like there's a segment of our population that wants to segregate anyway. There's a segment of our population that's using the U.S. Constitution and using the laws to take us back 50, 60 years ago. That is their aim. They had a couple of schools in Alabama that is trying to resegregate. They want the schools to be all white. And what happened was a judge had ruled in their favor and decided that this because the district is a predominantly white district anyway. So they kind of redistricted the school, so they want the school to be all white. So I feel like with what's going on now, that's what they want. They want us to be able to say, well, I don't want to serve. It'll be a gay person today. It'll be a black person tomorrow that I don't want to serve. Anybody with their pants hanging off their behind, I don't want to serve them. Anybody with gold fronts, I don't want to serve them. But, you know, at the end of the day, maybe that's what, you know, the universe wants for us. Maybe they want us to have to turn back and be our own stewards and have our own stores. If you can't buy a loaf of bread in their stores, then get your own bread.
Mm.
And maybe that's exactly what's happening, because we're certainly not going to starve. We've been on this planet way too long for that. So I guess we got to get our bread makers from out of Sandtown and from over East Baltimore and down Southside, down Pigtown.
Come on.
Because that's what it's getting to.
And you know what? Honestly, Monica, real talk, it's been like that, right? But we've been having these conversations. Of course, I'm not new to these conversations. You aren't new. Black folks have been having these conversations for at least 50 to 60 years, if not more. So somewhere along the line, the message is not resonating. You know what I mean? We still, like you said, there's a portion of the population that thinks one way. There's a great larger, a significant portion of our population. The reason that this is so detrimental and this is so disturbing is because our faith is being disrupted. Like our faith in the American system, the faith in our belief in being quote unquote American citizens, the faith that we are due justice. I mean, that's disturbing. And let's be real, Monica. This country has been sending mixed messages about black people. We're citizens when we fight in war, but we're not citizens when we're talking about gaining justice. We're citizens when we're a part of the workforce and the numbers look good on paper, but then we're not citizens once we get into the workplace and we're exposed to all types of so the mixed messages, and this is causing us to go loony. We're just going both sides. We're coming across as being very schizophrenic.
No doubt. It's like we can't catch a break.
We can't catch a break.
Citizens, and they claim they want us to be a good blue-blooded American citizens, and yet they continuously go through that.
Monica,
they'll go and take an 1856 law and bring it back and try to make it, you know, acceptable.
That's true.
They have moved the line and pushed the line to the point where discrimination, racism, and hatred is now more acceptable and more palatable.
Right.
So we really messed up. We done been traumatized all these years, and now they re-victimizing us.
And that's true.
Secure, not feeling safe. That's not cool, man.
No. I like the way you just said real simple play, Monica. That's not cool. That is not cool. I appreciate you for checking in, Miss Linda. Thank you for your great patience, Miss Linda. What's your take?
How are you this evening?
I'm good, Miss Linda. How are you?
Okay. Look, I'm, you know, really standing with that lady, and I'm agreeing with some of the other callers, because you know what? It's going to take. Look, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
That's it.
And more people need to get behind that lady and protest along with her. I mean, people in every state. I don't care what state you're in, what color your skin. Anybody and everybody that stand for right and stand for justice for all need to rise up. God can't use no coward soldiers. Baby, and if there ever was a time to rise up and take a stand, it is now.
Absolutely. Miss Linda, is always, I'm always happy to hear from you, Miss Linda. You got the passion and the spirit, and that's what we need right now. Miss Linda checking in from Gwin Oak. Hey, look, man, let me just share with you some of these final remarks from our Facebook post, because folks have been going back and forth. Patricia is not playing. She talked about this. It's not a slippery slope. White restaurant owners made a conscious decision to not serve Republican politicians, yet a black woman did the same thing, and black folks have a problem with it. As if police are respectful, they're getting a dose of their own medicine. I'm sure they don't like it. Then they retaliated against her, even though she was practicing her constitutional rights. And y'all worried about them? I wish I could do the same. Patricia. But Dwayne checked in and said, slippery slope. Absolutely. We have to do better than them. We have to be the light. This is a tit for tat battle that we lose in the long run. If you plug your business into the U.S. economy, you should have to serve everyone. Where does it end? Today it's food truck. Tomorrow it's jobs. We cannot provide for ourselves economically. Not yet. I know. And that's that's the ongoing debate. That right there, folks, is what Dwayne, and thank you, Dwayne, and thank you, Patricia. That's the ongoing debate. Like, we can go hard in the paint, but we're still part of the system. And what is the leverage? What's the leveraging power that we have? That if we said, you know what, enough is enough, we're going to cut it all off, and then boom, we're going to rely and go back to what again? We haven't established ourselves yet. Because guess what? That faith in the American system, whether the economic system, the social system, the religious order, those things is very real for black people in this country. It's not easy for you just to say, hey, black people, let's just go. Many have gone before us saying, hey, from the prophets of the yesteryear to this point, many have gone to before us and said, look, we need to get out of this place. We need to separate and do our and establish our own. Many. But what is stopping us? Has it really been our resources? No. Has it been our intelligence? Certainly not. Or has it been our will and our desire and our vision to see ourselves in a better place? But as long as we have hope in the system, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't have or you shouldn't have, but at the end of the day, as long as we still believe in some elements of this system, guess what? The American system, as of right now, will stand. The American system of white supremacy will remain. The American system of racism, sexism, all of those isms will stay in place. We have to let go at some point. And in letting go, it doesn't mean that we hate. It just simply means that we're tired of the master-slave relationship. We're tired of walking on the field already having 2 out of 3 strikes against us. Doesn't mean it's hateful. It just means that we want a clean slate, like everybody else has been afforded a clean slate. Or at least give us a rag to clean the slate, because right now, our slate is dirty. It's muddled. It can't be read. It can't be seen. It can't be understood. And that's the condition that we find ourselves in. And so this conversation, it will go back and forth. But at some point, we have to think about what that big picture is. And what is this big picture? Is it about us saying that police are not good and that we don't? No, we're not in a capacity, and you could check me on it. You could certainly check me, but we're not in a capacity to police ourselves. We don't have a full-grown system a forensics, an investigation, and we don't have a full-grown system to really address the constituent services, right? We don't have that system in place yet, but we can certainly do our best to try to do our part to make sure that this system really works for us. And if Ms. Rocky Coronado, if she just decides that, you know what, I don't want to serve, that's certainly her right, that's in her business interest, and she has to take the consequences for that, right? But I do believe that if we keep going down the path of, oh, nope, you did this and do that, and not having recognized the bias that exists, and more importantly, the view that we have of this situation, that we're never going to make any real progress. We have to make progress, whether you're black, you're white, Asian, or Latino. Here's the deciding factor for that progress. It has to be truth in the conversation, and there has to be the ultimate goal of attaining justice. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, check in with our sports contributor, Mr. Cravante Hurd. Talk to us a little bit about Naomi Osaka and how she has hit another milestone in sports at 20 years old. Stay riding with us. For a few more minutes left here in tonight's broadcast, and we still got a whole lot more. It's For the Culture here on WEAA. All right, peace and welcome back to For the Culture. All right. Now it's time for us to kind of switch gears a little bit. Very spirited conversation. But now I want to switch gears a little bit to our sports contributor, Mr. Cravante Hurd. Right?
What's good?
What's going on, Cravante? How are you, sir?
Not much. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
I see. Y'all ain't called me for the Golden State goofiness that was going on.
We didn't call you for that.
Yeah, y'all ain't called me for that because there wasn't much to talk about. I said, dang, they ain't called me in a minute.
You know what? There wasn't much to talk. It's a lot happening in the sports world.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, in terms of being able to talk about that particular issue, no. But I do want to get your take on, because we've been talking about Serena, Naomi, you're a sports guy. Right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's been riding hard in the paint for Serena.
Yeah.
But yesterday, you know, a day before yesterday, I talked about, you know, Naomi still made her mark, right, by working her way up to that point, even though her victory wasn't one she had expected to get in that manner.
No, not at all.
A victory was made. She was declared victor.
Absolutely.
You know, what do we take from that? And, I mean, guess from a sports perspective, you know, seeing that these things continue to happen, but this is happening on a much grander scale considering who Serena Williams is.
The one thing I don't like is that even though I'm a sports guy, you know, we can all be sports people at some point, but I feel like the issue is this always gets taken away from sports. There's always something bigger that's going on.
Yeah.
Serena Williams is from Compton.
Yeah.
She's been fighting her whole life. Not just to play tennis, but just being a black woman.
Yeah.
So she's always being nitpicked. And I think with this previous tournament was the overflow of that. Now, not taking anything from Miss Naomi because she was there for a reason.
Right.
But I just think, even down to the cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
To the cartoon, how they was portraying her. It's just out of line. And it's uncalled for. Now, to Naomi, well-deserved. I think, I hate to say this, but it could be, like, another stab against Serena.
Yeah.
In a more indirect way. But we know how Serena's going to do. Serena's going to bounce back one way or another. But to Naomi played well. Nonetheless, in the books, it's going to be called a victory. And that cannot be taken from her. But, you know. There's always a gray area with sports, and that's one thing I don't like.
Mm. Mm. So this is really a sad and unfortunate moment for really just for everybody like, in sports in general.
Nobody really wants. I mean, except for Naomi now, you know, with the whole contract thing and her winning. But even then, it's still like even for her, it's like, did I really I'm gonna take it. Don't get it twisted. I'm gonna take it. Right. But it's like that was smudgy. That was smudgy by Mr. Umpire Carlos Ramos.
Yeah,
it was real shady, and I hate when referees put themselves into the game. That's one thing I don't like. Let the game play out. Let the game play how it's supposed to be played, and don't get emotional behind it. You of anybody, you have to be the most professional, because there's gonna be people in your ear chatter
all day.
But I feel like he stepped over the line. Now don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. Miss Arena took her part in it as well. But I felt like that was built up. I feel like he had he had alternatives for that.
Mm. All right. Well, let's not get into that anymore.
All right,
the fact is that Naomi is standing proud and tall, and she's about to get a nice paycheck, I guess, for all of her pain and suffering. Right?
is that what we're calling it?
All right. So check this out, folks. Naomi Osaka may be about to sign the biggest deal that Adidas. I was about to say Nike.
Oh, wow. I say, wait a minute. I didn't get that. I didn't get that at all.
Has agreed to with a female athlete. The 20-year-old, of course, as you know, she picked up a nice, healthy paycheck of $3.8 million after playing Serena at the U.S. Open at the Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York. But her new deal with Adidas could dwarf her earnings from tennis, according to The Times. Osaka is reportedly going to get a six-figure salary with Adidas that will expire this year. The Times says that a contract worth an estimated $8.5 million a year will be announced Thursday. This will be Adidas' biggest deal with a female athlete, according to Yahoo, which also said it would see that they say the Japanese star. Can we acknowledge the fact that she's Japanese and Haitian? Can we at least acknowledge
that's
that?
That's wild.
Can we at least acknowledge? I mean, look, if can we at least acknowledge that this woman is Japanese and Haitian? I get it. Yes. She's Japanese and Haitian.
Wow.
And she has already rocketed up the Forbes list of the highest paid women in sports. $8.5 million a year. The question is, how many years?
And I believe that's up to Adidas's discretion. I'm all for athletes making their money in other forms, in other ways.
Sponsorships, right?
Please. Endorsement. Because you have to understand, the sports thing is not going to last forever. And this is just a better opportunity for her to find, you know, to get into some type of investment and to set herself up later on in life.
Yeah.
And God, for her to be 20?
She's 20, man. Like, I mean, wow. God forbid. I mean, the fact is that she's 20. So you talking about,
gosh,
you know,
man,
the
huge.
Fact is that she's still got a lot to do.
Absolutely. She's
got
only
a lot
20.
Of accomplishments.
She got a lot. Like, just think of how Serena's in her 30s.
Right.
That means Osaka probably has at least maybe 10 to 15 more years of this.
If she, let me just say this. If Naomi decides to stay focused on this, right? Like, she stays on a LeBron, and I'm going to just use this, LeBron's James track.
Okay.
In the sense of being able to stay focused on her career, not allowing the outside world to distract her, she can become a very, very powerful figure in sports. Not just tennis, but in sports.
Absolutely.
And she could bring a lot of new conversations to the game because of her mixed heritage of both being Japanese and Haitian.
I love it.
You know what
I'm
saying?
I love it.
So now you opening up the door, and I think people tend to forget, okay, you're still a young black woman. You're still a young black woman. So you're doing some big things for the culture. You know what I'm saying? But that's the big thing from this. But $8.5 million, the new endorsement deals, according to the reports, Gravante, is that Osaka will become the second highest paid woman this year. Check this out. Above her fellow tennis player, Miss Caroline Wozniak.
That's good.
One rung below Serena Williams.
That's crazy. The success is like unbearable at this point.
Let me tell you something. Only in America, folks. In America.
That's just crazy. But I think the biggest thing for her to do, just like you said, is the focus, because that's a lot of money for a young person to have.
Yeah.
Because that's the easiest thing you could do is mess it up.
Right.
Because she has the world. She basically has the world right now. She should be Serena Williams.
She could be the young Serena Williams.
She could be the next.
So let's talk about the impact of this whole situation for black female athletes. Is this blowing open the door, or are we going to still see some level of pushback and even some consequences because of how Serena has expressed herself?
That's a good question. This is different because it could go either way.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she's another black woman. Sure. I think it all depends on her success.
Yeah.
How much further will she go with this, and how will she grace us with her dominance? I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Serena Williams, don't get it twisted. I love watching Serena Williams for more reasons than one, but she's a phenomenal athlete. But she has her moments where it's like, dang, Serena. but I'm still behind her because she fought a culture. And I just want Naomi to continue that. And she's such a young age, very young.
Is this the beginning of the end for Serena Williams?
No. She's still one short of the record.
So she's still got some play left.
Absolutely.
She's 36 years old, right?
Absolutely.
She's 36. So, you know, I mean, to see a 40-year-old tennis player, she got, you know, I'm thinking between now and 40, she's still got that same drive. There's still the possibility.
Absolutely. That record is still out there. That means she needs two more to break the record, one more to tie. She's hungry for that. She wants that. And especially after how this one just ended.
Yeah,
she's going to come back
hungry. She's coming back.
She's coming back hungry.
All right, Cravante Hurd, I appreciate you. I know that we didn't get all of things, but you know, some of my producers want to talk about the Ravens win.
There's nothing to talk about. It was dominating. That was the sixth preseason game. That's all I'm saying. It was the sixth preseason game because who's the other quarterback? Who's that? Nate Peterman, Mr. Five Picks himself? Nah, it wasn't. It's not worth talking.
It was a scrimmage.
It was another preseason game.
Cravante, how can folks check you out, man?
Oh, of course. At the Flex Zone 1, follow us. I'm giving you sports how you want it, when you need it.
Yeah.
Follow me at Cravante Hurd. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Cravante Hurd.
All right, my man Cravante Hurd, thank you so much for being good for the culture, brother.
Appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's going to do it for me. I want to thank all of you for being a part of the conversation online and on air. I want to thank my dynamic production team. It's Mallory Pinker, Pierre, Alex Blanc, my two production assistants, Jalen and Daryl. And I want to thank my engineer for the night, my man Charlie, making me sound so good. Charlie kept me intact tonight. Charlie, thank you so much, sir. Make sure you continue the conversation on all of our social media platforms at FortiCulture889 on Facebook and Instagram. Certainly email us at FortiCulture889@gmail.com with your suggestions and feedback. Up next, it's In the Groove with LaDawn Black, giving you that cool jazz for your evening. As always, folks, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. I look forward to having another great conversation with you tomorrow. We will have a very special guest, Reverend Willie Wilson, who is one of the co-founders and co-organizers of the great Millions Man March. He will be on the show tomorrow to talk to us about what's happening with him, talk about black Christianity, and so much more. I'm very, very excited to have the great pastor on the show, Reverend Willie Wilson, tomorrow here on For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. And WEAA.org, absolutely the voice of the community. And remember, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.